Along with Ben George, I'm Mick Gillespie, and welcome to Braves Country on 99.1 WDGM.com. We're going to talk about Atlanta Braves baseball, get you through the season, and I got to tell you, Ben, it's been a great start for the Braves. 16-9, they're 3.5 games up on Washington, and at the beginning of the year, I figured the Nationals would run away with the division. The Nationals have had problems, and the Braves, who retooled during the offseason, bringing in BJ and Justin Upton, amongst other players, are right now one of the biggest stories in baseball. And what's even better, we do this show today coming off of a huge win for Atlanta last night over Washington.
Yeah, you're right about the way the season started. I mean, the month of April has been much better than they could have anticipated. I mean, they're coming off a road trip in which they just went 3-7. So before that point, they were 13-2. They were in control and looking great. But the problem with this team, and you know it, I mean, their offense is going to be up and it's going to be down. I mean, it's the extremes. It's going to be homers and then it's going to be strikeouts. And we've seen more of the latter the last couple of weeks. But like you said, they got a big series during with the Nationals right now. They're 4-0 right now against them in the season. So they're in pretty good shape. But so far, great start to the year.
I think they've beat the Nationals something like 8 straight. And then what's even more interesting about this year's team, you bring up the start. 1982, Dale Murphy, Bob Horner, Chris Chambliss, Phil Niekro, those guys started the year 13-1. They were 13-0. So this Braves team was really close to tying them for the best start after 14 games. That gives you an idea of the type of baseball that this team played. And I guess when I look at this Atlanta Braves team, I want to start right with Justin Upton, because getting him, I know you give up Martin Prado, who is a great role team player. I don't think he's a star. But when you look at Justin Upton is the class of the game right now.
They did a great – I mean, this trade looks ridiculous at this point. I mean, it looks like they just stole right away from the Diamondbacks, because the Diamondbacks wanted – obviously they love Prado, but they also were really high on Randall Delgado, the pitcher. They preferred him over Julio Teheran, which – turned out now to be pretty ludicrous, because Teheran made the roster, is in the starting rotation for the Braves, and they have a lot of expectations for him. Not that Delgado was bad, but Teheran could be one or two by the time his career is over with. But Upton so far, and I've been high on this guy his whole career, he really is an animal, and he's proved it so far. 12 homers, 19 RBIs, hitting .304, getting on base almost .400. He's doing what they expected him to do and what a lot of baseball scouts expected from him early in his career when he came up as a 19, 20-year-old. He's doing it now, but he's carried this team so far. And maybe it's part of it, having his brother on the team, whatever it was, change the scenery. Who knows what happened, but he's playing up to his potential right now.
Yeah, they went back-to-back, BJ and Justin Upton, home runs. It's only the second time that a brother-brother team has gone back-to-back. There's been other brother teams that have hit home runs in the same game, but you got to go all the way back to the 30s since the last time that two brothers were in the same lineup for the same team and hit back-to-back home runs. They also hit home runs in the same inning in a comeback win against the Chicago Cubs. And that was part of that nearly record opening streak to get the season going. But the other guy that I guess you put in this mix and the Braves are going to be without for a while is Jason Hayward. And I'll tell you some background on Jason Hayward. When he came through the Southern League, I watched him playing for Atlanta's Double-A club, Mississippi. Within three games, I think two of them were rained out in the series. Freddie Freeman, by the way, was the first baseman on that team. I thought that, and I still think this, that he was the most talented player that I've seen come through the league, and I've watched minor league baseball for about 10 years. So I'm waiting for that to translate into consistency at the big league level, but he's going to have to wait. He was in Colorado, the Braves were. He had an appendectomy, and so he had to stay behind, and the team left, and Hayward's going to be out for a while. You get stitches, you get cut open. I'd say that's pretty major surgery.
Yeah, they're hoping to have him back almost now, really, but it looks like it's going to be end of May before he returns. But you touched on it. I mean, Hayward, it's been a bit of a conundrum so far. He came up, made an impact immediately, homered in his first at-bat in the major league level, had a good 2010, and then 11, he kind of slacked off, had the sophomore slump. And then 2012, last year, looked like he was rebounding. He had 27 homers, 82 RBIs, but this year, I mean, it's been hard. it's been hard coming for him. He's hitting 121, which is, you know, right there in BJ Upton territory, unfortunately. But he's got so much potential. If he can put it together, and now he's got other pieces that can take the pressure off of him, I'd like to see him stay healthy and see what he can do over the course of 2-3 months, you know, once he kind of gets into a rhythm. But right now, it is hurting them not having him in the roster in right field, defensively especially.
One other guy that I want to highlight is Chris Johnson. Here's a guy that has really played in obscurity. Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Colorado, Washington, they all know what this guy's all about because in 21 games this year, he's hitting .367, a couple of home runs, 8 RBIs, and we were wondering what the world was going to be like without Chipper Jones, but this is a player that was with the Astros. No one really knew about him, and all of a sudden he's one of the top hitters in baseball.
Yeah, Chris Johnson's he's a pretty good player. I think he's obviously playing a little bit over his head at this point, but you look at his career, like he contributed pretty well in Houston, and now being with the Braves, I think he's got a chance to kind of be just a role player and take the pressure off him a little bit. He can just kind of play baseball. But the good thing for the Braves is they have Juan Francisco also at the corner. They're kind of platooning a little bit, but if he ever slumps, he's got 4 homers this year, hitting about .300. He's also playing well. So between the two of them, I think they've got plenty to fill in for the loss of Chipper Jones. But like you said, his start so far has been probably one of the bigger stories for the Braves.
This is Braves Country on 99.1 WDGM.com, along with Ben George. I'm Mick Gillespie, and we're talking about the Atlanta Braves, and we're going to move to the pitching staff right now. And there are so many guys that have to contribute when you have a first-place team. I want to start with Tim Hudson because I think that all great teams need to have that veteran ace. And if the Braves are going to contend for a World Series, it'll be Hudson that'll help lead the way. He's a guy that you give the ball to game one, and the experience takes over when you get into the postseason. I know we're only here at the end of April, but still, a good start for him, a 2-1 record, a .450 ERA. He's made 5 starts, and he's given him 28 innings, 18 strikeouts, 9 walks. So not great, but still, he's healthy, and for him, that's been the biggest thing.
Yeah, that's the key. You nailed it. Him being healthy and staying healthy all season, they're going to need that. They need that veteran leadership. They have some good young arms, but it's going to come down to him kind of guiding them, giving that experience on the roster. He's gotten hit a little bit the last couple outings at Pittsburgh and at Colorado, but he's still a solid guy. You know what he's going to give you every time he hits the mound. He might have one or two missteps, but for the most part, he's going to come out. He's going to hit about 3.5 to 4 ERA, have a pretty good whip, not strike out a lot of guys, but he's going to get a lot of outs. They need that in this rotation.
One guy that I can tell you about from watching pitch in the minor leagues is Julio Teheran. And for Teheran, I look at him as a guy that could be a potential ace. When the Cubs last year were trying to make a trade, they were looking to send Ryan Dempster. They eventually did send Paul Mahalam to the Braves after the Dempster deal wasn't completed. And it was supposed to be Randall Delgado that the Cubs got. And I can remember saying that Julio Teheran is a better pitcher in my mind than Delgado. He just hadn't proved it at the big league level. So he's getting his chance right now. His numbers aren't great, but last time out against Washington, 5 1/3 innings, 2 earned runs, 10 hits, and no decision. But he did enough for his team to win the game. 1-0 on the year, a .508 ERA. He's going to take his lumps, but his last 2 starts, 7 innings at Colorado, gave up 8 hits and a run, and then the game that I just talked about with Washington. I got a feeling that as he gets confidence at the big league level and also understands how to pitch to major league hitters, that he's going to be a guy that towards the middle of the season becomes one of the best the Braves have.
I think you're right. I think a lot of it is when he came up and played with the Braves the last couple of years, he's got a couple of spot starts, you know, got hit hard in those couple of starts, but that was it. He went back down. So the only thing that people were remembering about him with the Braves is that he got hit pretty hard, didn't look that sharp. But like you said, he's come along. He's made steps each one of his starts this year, and looked pretty crisp his last time out against a good Rockies team. And you hit it. I think with him staying in this rotation, staying consistent, getting innings, by the midseason, he could be the guy that becomes a ace. Could be the guy that becomes a Medlin that takes off and just, you know, wins 8-9 starts in a row. He could do that easily.
Paul Mahalam is the guy that the Cubs ended up trading to the Braves. They got some minor league players in return, did the Cubs, and the Braves got a guy that is great middle of the rotation, consistent starter. And Mahalem this year, 3-2, a 3.30 ERA, and he's already thrown 30 innings. And that's what he does. He throws a lot of innings. You look at his major league totals, 69-86. Now remember, he's played on some bad teams, a 4.24 ERA, and he's started 221 games in those years. And he's always been a guy that's been able to throw a lot of innings. And when you look at Mahalem on a good team like the Braves that are going to give him a lot of run support, he may be a guy that, all right, look, he's not going to wow you with the sinker ball, but at the same time, he's a guy that's going to save your bullpen. And the Braves have, and we'll get to that in a second, one of the best back-end bullpens in baseball. But I think people feel like the last 2 years that the bullpen maybe have been a little bit taxed in the late season, and that's why the Braves haven't been able to get to the postseason.
Yeah, and Mahalem's, he's pitched at least 175 innings 6 of the last 7 years on a Pittsburgh team that wasn't giving a lot of support. So you said it, he can eat innings. This year he was one of the best pitchers out of the gate in Major League. He didn't give up a run his first three starts until he hit at Pittsburgh. But this guy's made four road starts, and then his home start is against Philadelphia. So he hasn't come up against any easy, you know, go out there, just throw your seven innings and get out of it. He's had to battle against some pretty good lineups to start the season. But he's a guy that, yeah, you throw in there, he could be the guy that every 5 days settles everybody down, gives a bullpen rest, and gets out there and gets a quality start and probably a win for this team. But he's a guy that can eat innings, and he's a consistent guy. Him and Tim Hudson together are the veterans this staff has to have.
In the bullpen, Corey Guerin, 14 outings already in relief, a 1.46 ERA. He's been great. 12 and a third innings. He's only given up 9 hits and 2 earned runs, and he's got 11 strikeouts to just 4 walks. He's been money. Craig Kimbrell, right now, is the best closer in baseball. 9 out of 10 save chances this year. The fastball is at times unhittable. A 1.69 ERA, and every time he comes in the game, it's game time. I mean, he's not going to come in when there's not something to be gained by it. Craig Kimbrell is the kind of guy that when you get into the postseason and you take a lead into the ninth inning, you should be able to win those games.
Yeah, the bullpen has been lights out so far, like they have in the last couple of years. Four guys in the bullpen have made over 10 appearances, all have sub-2 ERAs. And one guy that's probably not really talked about a lot is Jordan Walden, who came in as part of the Tommy Hansen trade last year or over the offseason. And he's been pretty good as well. He's got a 1.69 ERA, made 10 appearances, given up a good number of hits. His whip's not great, but he's been a guy that's given that extra arm in the bullpen. And with him, Flaherty, and Kimbrell, I mean, that back end, if they can just get to him, it's tough to overcome that. And you've seen that in some of the games so far. You saw it with them holding off the Nationals just last night with that one-run win. They're doing it in the back end, but this bullpen is tough. It looks to pick up exactly where it left off last year, and it's going to be the strength of this pitching rotation.
Looking ahead to the Braves, still in the midst of a huge series right now with the Nationals. It's a four-game series. Braves won the opener. They play today. They play tomorrow and Thursday. Then they host the Mets. And then they go to Cincinnati and start a long road trip. And this one in the middle of May is going to be one of the toughest road trips they'll have all year. They go from Cincinnati to San Francisco for four to take on the world champs. And then they head to Arizona before finally getting a day off and returning back home on the 17th to take on the Dodgers. So we'll talk again next week and see how this series progresses. Also, I'm going to have an insight on the Double-A team. I'm going to spend 5 days in Mississippi with the Braves there, and we'll have some perspective on that as well. Thanks for listening to Braves Country on 99.1 WDGM. For Ben George, I'm Mick Gillespie. So long.